rocking around the Christmas tree.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio, sacred music for the Christmas season, coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
If we're serious about the Christmas season, now's a good time to reflect on those who are strangers in our midst and remember what it was like to be a stranger.
We don't want this willy-nilly kind of, yeah, Joe, get up and preach this week. Wow, you got a real gift. Great, got a gift. Let's make sure that he's qualified to use it well.
The trellis of Trinitarian worship has fallen into disrepair, and now you have a generation that when you treat the doctrine of the Trinity in 2 weeks of catechism class, their eyes glaze over.
These guys really think that the message is conveyed in their trickery or their theatrics rather than in the actual message that Christ bled and died for them.
Pro Football Hall of Fame wives, love issues, etc.
Well, it is the season of Advent, so I think it's always a good idea to take our cue from the man of Advent. The man of Advent, of course, is John the Baptist. He appears all over the place in the Advent texts that the church is reading and hearing, the songs that the church is singing, the prayers that the church is praying during the season of Advent. It's that time where the church just pauses and waits while the world rushes ahead. The world waits and anticipates not only the birth of Christ, but the arrival of Christ in his second coming in judgment to raise the dead and to judge the living and the dead. Now, John the Baptist makes a great example of good Christian preaching. Now, his preaching is fiery stuff. There's not a lot of good news in John's preaching until Jesus appears, and then the most stunning words we ever heard preached any place: behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And even when he's preaching judgment, John the Baptist is preaching all about the one who would come after him. He doesn't want to talk about himself, about his vacation with the grandkids. He wants to talk about Jesus in terms of law and gospel. And I think Jesus would concur. He in fact, says in John chapter 5, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify of me. So good preaching, whether it be the preaching par excellence of John the Baptist or preachers today who could hardly hope to match his rhetoric but certainly must follow his example, our preaching ought to be Christ-centered. And Advent, it's a good time for preachers to practice doing that, to practice pointing to Jesus. It's a very easy time, the time itself even schools preachers, in doing that. We're going to do a little sermon review here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this, what is it, Monday, the 22nd of December. Pastor David Peterson's sermon, it's an Advent sermon on both Psalm 85 and Matthew 11. John the Baptist doing one last thing from prison, sending his disciples to Jesus so they can hear from Jesus himself who he is, pointing his disciples in the very last days of his life again to Jesus and to Jesus alone. We'll do that sermon review. Then a little bit later, Pastor Matthew Ruch will join us. We're going to talk about the for you of Christmas. Do you ever notice that? Unto you is born this day, not unto Mary or unto Mary and Joseph, but unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. We'll talk about that. Pastor Brian Flammy will join us after that to discuss Giving Tuesday. It's a way that people find it easy with the click of a mouse to appease their holiday guilt over spending and getting so much. Pastor Tom Baker will be with us in the second hour of the program. We'll do an entire hour with him on two subjects: the presentation of Jesus, that's 40 days after Jesus is born, he is presented in the temple, and then at 12, Jesus is back in the temple as a boy among the teachers. We'll talk about both of that as we teach a Sunday school lesson in hour two of Issues Etc. Feel free to join us for the next 2 hours with questions or comments. 1-877-623-6943 is our call-in number. 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Or our beloved on-demand listeners, use the Issues Etc. comment line anytime, 618-223-8382. How do we do our sermon reviews? We have a simple three-part diagnostic. It is 1, 2, 3. 1, how often is Jesus mentioned? You're listening for the preacher to talk about Jesus, the mention of Jesus' name. You might be stunned if you've got a bad preacher how little he talks about Jesus. But what you're doing is keeping a simple running tally of how often. You can do this on the back of your bulletin. They have little micro pencils you can use in the pew. Just keep a running tally of how often he mentions Jesus. While you're doing that, if he is mentioned many times, which he ought to be, the next part of the diagnostic comes into play. Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? A little grammar, but very important. Is the preacher telling you what Jesus has done? Is he running the verbs, doing the doing of the sermon? Is he telling you what Jesus has done, or is he talking about what you do and only mentioning Jesus in passing? So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs? Then what are those verbs? What is the preacher telling you that Jesus has done, is doing, will do for you? Are these, sad to say, so many preachers who do manage to mention Jesus get the verbs wrong? They talk about the Jesus who coaches you, sets an example for you, inspires you, enables you, all those kinds of things, which may not be bad in and of themselves, but they miss the point. They're not the verbs of the New Testament. The Jesus who lives for you, suffers for you, bleeds for you, dies for you. Those are the crucial verbs of good, Christ-centered, cross-focused preaching. So how often is Jesus mentioned? Is he the subject of the verbs, and what are those verbs? And when you're done, if you have time, you could step back and ask yourself one final question, and that's, what is the problem that this preacher has diagnosed in me, and what remedy has he provided me? Is my problem the stressful holidays, and all I need to do is kick back, take some time with my wife, maybe take her out to dinner? Or is my problem my sin, for which there is only one solution, the sinless life, death, and resurrection of the sinless Jesus Christ? With that said, here's a Advent sermon preached on Matthew 11, verses 2 through 10, and Psalm 85 by one of our regular guests, Pastor David Peterson of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Adam was taken from the land, and his rebellion sent him back to the land. Thus says the Lord, by the sweat of your face shall you eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. And then, 3,000 years later, the sons of Korah sing, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. To say that the Lord is favorable toward his land is to say that he is favorable toward Adam. And thus do the sons continue. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. When Adam chose his wicked path, the land was dragged down with him. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles it shall bring forth to thee. But when God took up Adam's flesh and became man, in order to forgive the iniquity of humanity, he redeemed Adam. He bought him back with his own life and blood. He restored him to his former position and even elevated him. In redeeming Adam, the Lord also redeemed the land, the earth, and all of creation. He became again favorable to it. Thus does the risen Lord instruct his apostles to preach the gospel to every creature, that is, to all creation. The introit for today does not give us the whole of Psalm 85. It only gives us 4 of the 13 verses, 2 already quoted. These verses are meant, however, to give us a guide for hearing the account of John as he languishes in prison. We start with the promise of the Lord's favor to the land and his forgiveness and covering of their sins. And then we get the question in verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? In the context of the psalm, it is obviously a rhetorical question. It is like a child asking his mother if she loves him. The child knows what she will say, but he wants to hear it again. The sons of Korah, immediately moves to verse 8. Because the sons have great hope and are completely optimistic regarding the Lord's opinion. Unlike Adam, who had hidden shamefully for the wrong sort of fear in the garden, avoiding God, the sons of Korah are bold to say, I will hear what God the Lord will speak. And lest we be uncertain as to why they are so eager to hear what the Lord will speak, they tell us, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. And the peace, of course, that they are waiting for is the peace that will be announced by angels to shepherds at the birth of the Prince of Peace, who makes peace between God and men. Now, this reading does not mean that John was completely free of doubt while he was in prison. I suppose he might have been, but I can't imagine how. For John to not struggle in prison with the question as to whether Jesus really was the coming one or not, whether he was the king of Israel, or if John had just imagined things because things certainly didn't seem to be going the way that it seemed they should, seems impossible to me. It seems as unlikely to me as if John had been surrounded by a dozen naked, beautiful women and not lusted. It's possible, of course, that the Lord gave to John some extraordinary help and faith in prison that is not recorded in Scripture. And there is no doubt that we see lots of that sort of thing in the extra-biblical accounts of other martyrs. But I think that John, because he was a sinner, struggled with doubt. And I take my clue not simply from my own experience in my soul, and in my duty to care for the souls of Christians, but from what our Lord calls John, not just as he does in today's account, more than a prophet, not a reed shaken by the wind, but he also calls him in another place, Elijah. And perhaps the correspondence between Elijah and John is more than just their weirdness and office. Perhaps there is also a correspondence between John and Elijah in their personality and weaknesses. For after Elijah's heroic battle on Mount Carmel, where the prophets of Baal were defeated with fire, Elijah sinfully gave in to despair and tried to die. So perhaps some of that is also in John, and perhaps in prison he has his own dark night of the soul. It is certainly possible. But this is not a slam against John because he is less than perfect. For rather, even if it is the case that John was suffering and that he was not suffering without sin, but had some doubt or fear about the Lord's identity or his own eternal fate, it is the new man in John that prompted him to do the right thing. Like a child, he sought comfort from his father. And that desire and question did not come from doubt, but from faith. He asked Jesus to tell him what he already knew. Are you the coming one or not? Do you love me? Has my life been in vain? Was my ministry a waste? Will my sorrow ever end? Have you forgotten me? Like the sons of Korah before him, John knows what the Lord will say. Whether he had doubts or not, we do not know. But we do know that he had faith. Whether he had some doubts or not, he fully expected that the Lord would speak peace unto his people, to his saints, and to him.
We're listening to a sermon preached by Pastor David Peterson at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, an Advent sermon here as Advent draws to a close based on Matthew 11, John the Baptist sending to Jesus in one of the very last things he does before his death there in prison, based also on Psalm 85, the introit for that Sunday. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. When we come back, we'll hear more of the sermon, do more of the review, and then Pastor Matt Ruch will join us, a missionary to Puerto Rico. We're going to talk to him about the for you of Christmas. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Mary's Song, the Magnificat, the song of the angels' announcement to the shepherds, Simeon's song of praise in the temple. The Issues Etc. book of the month is titled The Songs of Christmas. This new arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 2 through 10. The Songs of Christmas is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. A great stocking stuffer for young children or grandchildren, The Songs of Christmas.
Preaching Christ and Him Crucified. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Clark, it's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Maybe getting a faithful pastor seems as exciting as a membership in the Jelly of the Month Club, but that kind of thinking can lead to the unbiblical removal of pastors from the office of the Holy Ministry, the topic of our next ACELC conference, February 10th through 12th in Kansas City, Missouri. Register at acelc.net, because faithful pastors really are a gift that keeps on giving. See why at acelc.net.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. Tell me of the God-man who bore all the blame. Hey, preacher man, give me the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you shouldn't be ashamed.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're doing a little sermon review on this Monday, December the 22nd, an Advent sermon. We want to get one more in before Advent is gone in the next couple of days, preached by Pastor David Peterson of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on John the Baptist from prison sending his disciples with a question for Jesus: are you the one to come, or shall we look for another? And up to this point, Pastor Peterson has reminded us that, well, it's certainly possible that John the Baptist may have had his doubts, but he acted rightly. And faith is the thing that asks the question, are you the one, or should we look for another? He expects, as he said, for the Lord to speak peace to his people, to his saints, and to him. Here's more of the sermon.
The proper preface for Advent summarizes John's office with two sweeping duties. He is the messenger who prepares the way of the Lord, first by proclaiming him the Messiah, the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, and secondly, by calling sinners to repentance that they might escape from the wrath to be revealed when the Lord comes in glory. So he proclaims the Messiah, and he preaches or calls to repentance. But we could easily add a third duty based on Isaiah. For Isaiah tells us that John is also to comfort. He is told to comfort the Lord's people, to speak tenderly to Jerusalem, to cry to her that her warfare is ended and her iniquity is pardoned. And what John's question from prison does is teach us to find comfort in the midst of this world's trials in the words of Jesus. The sons of Korah continue their psalm thus: Surely the Lord's salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from the heaven. Mercy and truth are met together in the womb of the Virgin Mary. It is mercy that causes the Lord to choose her. He chooses to take up flesh there at that time, in the fullness of time, when Caesar Augustus had determined there should be a census that he might raise the taxes. The Lord chooses to take up flesh there and uses Caesar's greed to arrange things in the right way that he might redeem us. Mercy comes into our world, and mercy then, in a sense, is his human nature. And it is the truth that God keeps his promises and word. He will not let the devil take dominion away from Adam. He will not let the devil steal us away from God. When he said on the sixth day of creation that it was good, he meant it. And he keeps his word. He keeps the word of goodness of creation in the Messiah. And in the Messiah, once again, he is favorable towards the land. And once again, his creation is good, and it will be good forever, for he will see to it. So his truth is, in a sense, his divine nature. Mercy and truth, the sons of Korah say, have met together. So also do righteousness and peace kiss each other in the Mary's womb. Truth springs out of the earth. That is, out of the dust, out of the tomb to which Adam had returned, out of the land toward which the Lord is now favorable. The Lord rises from the dead, and righteousness looks down from heaven favorably upon God's forgiven people. The sons of Korah had an amazingly detailed hope and nuanced in the Messiah, and much to teach us who have our own dark nights of the soul. They end their psalm with a prophecy, fittingly, of John the forerunner. The last two verses read, "Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps." The righteousness that goes before the Messiah is John. He was sent to set us in the way of the Messiah's steps. He does that by proclaiming the Messiah to be the very Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, by calling us to repentance and by comforting us, by drawing out the words of Jesus that show he is the Messiah, most significant of which is that the blind receive their sight, for there are no healings of blindness in the Old Testament. The first time a blind man is healed in Holy Scripture, it is the Messiah, and yet Isaiah prophesied that this would be a sign of the Messianic age. Thus does the land yield the increase, and our graveyards become fields for harvest. Thus there is comfort for sinners who struggle with doubt and other sins, and there is hope for our future, for in the Messiah the Lord is favorable toward us. In Jesus' name.
That's an Advent sermon. One last Advent sermon before Advent draws to a close from Pastor David Peterson, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, you see exactly what's happening there. He is able to do exactly what Jesus counsels his opponents to do, to search the Scriptures and therein to find eternal life, because therein they find the testimony to Jesus. There in the Psalms, there in John the Baptist, who points from the Old Testament into the New, at the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Good, solid Advent preaching. Actually, it's the kind of sermon that would do well on any Sunday, not just on an Advent Sunday, where the temptation might be to talk a lot about John the Baptist and turn it into a Bible class on John. It becomes about the one to whom John the Baptist looked for his comfort and his hope and his assurance, maybe even the midst of his own doubts. By the way, There's a book out for Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany, and there's sermons that are preached by Pastor David Peterson. I have said before that I got a list of maybe five great preachers in my mind. He sits near the top of that list every single time. The book is called God With Us. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We will have that link for you there this afternoon. When we come back, we're going to talk with Pastor Matt Rouche. He's an LCMS missionary to Puerto Rico. We're going to be talking to him about the For You of Christmas. It's right there in the words of the angels. The angels that sing of Jesus' birth say, "Unto you is born this day. Unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord." The For You of Christmas with Pastor Matt Rouche right after this. If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind when you consider your year-end giving.
Just in time for the Christmas season, we have a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. and our sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 21st and 28th. Talk radio and sacred music for the Christmas season, issuesetc.org. And click support.
Fall is here, and it's time to toss your boots and pack your suits to escape the chill of winter. Opening its doors this December in Mexico, Hyatt Ziva is the perfect repose for all-inclusive splendor. With 9 restaurants, bars, and lounges to choose from each day, and sumptuous suites to retreat to each night, Hyatt Ziva is the only one in the region with a secluded beach. And for a limited time, you can enjoy a discount as part of their grand opening celebration. Call your travel agent or visit allinclusive.hyatt.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Mark Azil, the LCMS Director of Campus Ministry and LCMSU, inviting all college students and those with an interest in campus ministry to join us for Taboo, the 2015 National LCMS Campus Ministry Conference, this coming January 5th through 7th at St. Louis University in St. Louis. That's right, it's Taboo in the Lou. Find out more at lcms.org/LCMSU.
Confessional Lutherans, we've got your back. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.